Hi, I'm Evan Hahn. I'm the producer for the Global Health Perspectives podcast with Derek Yak. Tomorrow, as many of you know, is World No Tobacco Day, and we want to do something a little different for the podcast. Derek Yak, the foundation president and host of the podcast, wanted to address directly the importance of World No Tobacco Day and the greater implications this day can have. As always, you can reach us at podcast@smokefreeworld.org, and if you have a second, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts. It only takes a moment, and it really helps the show. Thanks.
My name is Derek Yach. I'm the president of the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World. We are on the eve of World No Tobacco Day 2020. What I hope to do in the next few minutes is really spell out the significance of the day worldwide. What were some of my first experiences of a World No Tobacco Day way back when I lived in South Africa? What is the power of it? And the ability to galvanize change around the world? What is the special significance of living under a pandemic and the struggles that people face? Before ending with questions of what is the evolving science telling us, and what you really want to know is what truly works to try and help people quit and quit forever. Let's go back to the 1980s. In 1988, the World Health Organization declared World No Tobacco Day only the second event to be held on a worldwide basis to celebrate some aspect of health. And it did so because at the time, 3 million people were dying of smoking-related death and disease. The kind of diseases they died of included ischemic heart disease and other heart diseases, lung cancer and a range of other cancers, chronic lung disease, tuberculosis, as well as a wide variety of other respiratory as well as conditions affecting particularly women and children. The research that formed the basis for this had been carried out all the way from the 40s, the 50s, 60s, and the 70s, mainly in the UK, the US, and in some European countries, with a few others coming from Australia and Canada. At that time, there were no large studies on the impact of smoking from China or India or South Africa or Cuba. And that gap, though, was important, but in no ways did it hold back progress on recognizing that smoking kills and that people who quit are going to live longer, healthier lives. It was for that reason that World No Tobacco Day's focus from the beginning was on the smoker. At the time, I was living in South Africa and at the Medical Research Council. South Africa was in the last few years of apartheid rule, and under apartheid, the World Health Organization had banned and boycotted South Africa from its participation. Despite that, many of us in public health looked through those dark years to WHO for guidance and a shining light on what we should or could be doing to improve the health of populations. And we felt, knowing that this first World No Tobacco Day would happen in April 1988, that we would put together a special edition of the premier South African medical journal that focused almost entirely on the issues of the health, economic, and legislative aspects of tobacco control. That edition was supported by a seminar, high-level media activity, and while it didn't have an impact in the short term, we know that it formed the basis for what 6 years later, under the Mandela government, became the start of steady increases in taxation on tobacco products and a ban of tobacco advertising that led to substantial improvements in the tobacco-related trends in the country. The power of World No Tobacco Day I got to see both at WHO and in the years afterwards. With a modest amount of funding, WHO were able to galvanize the best scientists in the world to answer the questions of what are the health impacts, what works best. At the time, in terms of what worked best, there was a limited armamentarium for cessation and for helping people quit. Despite that, the WHO was able to put out a range of documents, both to highlight the importance of policy change, as well as to reach out directly to the smoker to help them on that day quit. And we saw around the world thousands of initiatives run by schools, poster competitions by kids, urging their parents and supporting their parents to never start, or if they did smoke, to help them to quit. Marches on the streets of Sao Paulo and Mumbai and Johannesburg, all in favor of smoke-free public policies, either in the restaurants or in the schools. the end of sports advertising. And don't forget that was an era when tobacco was widely advertised within the Olympics, within the International Football Association, and most of the major professional sports. Competitions and quit programs were galvanized and supported by WHO, and thousands, tens of thousands of people took part. Probably many thousands succeeded in quitting. That was the power of an action and of a movement that was able to target and work with smokers in a very focused way. I fear that we have moved a bit away from that in the last few years. Intended to use World No Tobacco Day for broader policy discussions, which may be important over the very long term, are not reaching out to the seedbed of where we could have the greatest impact, the adult smoker. Today, we know all too well that we now have 8 million people dying of smoking every year, up from 3 million when World No Tobacco Day started in 1988. We also know that millions of people are living around the world under conditions of lockdown due to COVID-19. We know that nicotine dependence and lockdowns do not go well together. They induce high levels of anxiety in people, pushing them to either seek out tobacco that is illegal or to try and find other forms of substances to abuse. For those countries that introduced prohibitionist policies, we know we're now seeing a flourishing illicit trade, one that will be difficult to put back into the box. And overall, many of the responses of governments showed that they lacked the empathy to think through how they're going to deal with the very real substance dependence problems of smokers while addressing the complexity of a lockdown and the enormous anxiety that it's engendered on a worldwide basis. Let's return to the science, though. Over the last couple of years, we have started seeing the gaps in science that are referred to being filled. We now have high-quality studies on the impact of smoking and tobacco in China, in India. And most recently, one of the largest studies ever done in the world was completed out of Cuba. What makes the study particularly interesting is that it was led by one of the very earliest researchers in the field of tobacco control, Sir Richard Peto, who with Sir Richard Dall, way back, started doing the exemplary studies in the UK and eventually in China that have led to modern tobacco control. What they did with colleagues in Cuba and at the NIH was to follow 120,000 people in Cuba for well over 20 years. The findings are important for World No Tobacco Day, and the two key ones are that a third of adult smokers started smoking under the age of 15, and those who started smoking under the age of 15 were substantially more likely to die prematurely than those who started after the age of 15. That speaks to one of the critical reasons why we have World No Tobacco Day, to focus on the kids and to stress the importance of prevention and of them never starting to smoke or vape throughout their life. But the second message is equally important. They showed that for those smokers who quit before the age of 40, they were able to erode almost all of the excess mortality of the previous years of smoking. That sends a very powerful signal about the fact that it's certainly not too late to quit by the age of 40. And our own research has shown that that age of 40 can be pushed up to 50 and to the early 60s. There are material benefits to life expectancy and to quality of life of people in middle age who quit even after a life of smoking until the age of 40 or 50. It is definitely not too late to stop. That is a message that during COVID-19 becomes even more poignant and important, given the fact that so many of the deaths were in older people, and people coming out of COVID-19 will want to look to their own healthy lifestyles to think, what could they do differently to put them at a greater benefit of being able to live longer and healthier lives? Quitting smoking is one clear example. And what do we mean by quitting smoking? Years ago, it was certainly, there were not many tools available. The patch and the gum have now been on the shelf since the late 1980s. They probably increase the ability of you to quit. We now know that e-cigarettes, that snus, and maybe even heated tobacco products, all forms of nicotine, without most of the dangerous things that kill you in combustible cigarettes, will probably help you quit far better than trying to get off nicotine completely. Certainly, you're going to need behavioral support and advice, and we're seeing the quality of behavioral support and advice improving as we have access to a wide range of telecommunications, phone messaging, therefore not relying on having to go full-time to doctors and nurses in their waiting rooms and spending time getting advice in that route. Before ending, let's think back to the original purpose of World No Tobacco Day. It was to place the focus on the smoker. It was to recognize that almost all of the people who are going to die over the next 40 years of tobacco-related death and disease are adults who are smoking today. If every child in the world was to grow up smoke-free today, it would not touch the mortality that we can touch by addressing adult smoking through better programs focused on quitting in the way that I defined. I hope that all of you listening will reach out to smokers who you know, who love, who are part of your family, your friendship, your communities, to give them the support that they need and understand that they will be going through a process of addressing the dependence, particularly in this highly stressful period of the pandemic. But if you're able to give them the support needed, they will come out of the pandemic substantially healthier than they were going into the pandemic. Remember that smoking was the largest single cause of preventable death before COVID-19. It remains the largest single preventable cause of death after COVID-19. It's within all of our power to use World No Tobacco Day to start reversing that trend. Thank you.